Look in the mirror. When did your metabolism decide to take a permanent vacation? You're working out, eating decent, but that stubborn gut just won't budge. Standard diets don't work anymore. They just starve your body, crash your energy, and burn away the lean muscle you actually want to keep. It's time to break the cycle with Almased. Almased isn't a fad diet. It's a high-protein, all-natural meal replacement shake, scientifically backed to burn deep belly fat while protecting your muscle mass. The secret is a unique, low-glycemic formula. It keeps your insulin in check, forcing your body to stop storing fat and start burning it for fuel.
I hit 50 and my energy cratered, while my waistline did the opposite. Nothing got rid of my belly fat until I tried Almased. I dropped the belly, got more energy, and honestly, I feel like I'm in my 30s again.
Don't settle for slowing down. Protect your muscle, kickstart your energy, and lose the gut for good. Go to Almased.com and use promo code BELLY to get a free shaker bottle and a free weight loss guide with your first order. That's Almased.com, promo code BELLY.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.
We talked a lot this morning about what happened to Odell Beckham Jr. and his reaction to the injury. What was your take on what unfolded on Monday Night Football?
The more I looked at the hit, I don't think it was necessarily dirty or there was any malintent. I mean, there's going to be bang-bang plays. There's going to be collisions. There's going to be injuries in football. You obviously absolutely detest it even more than usual when it's the preseason because of how little sort of intrinsic meaning these games have beyond an evaluating tool for coaches and general managers. Obviously it sounds like crisis averted. Everything Beckham said after the game, everything that I'm hearing this morning is, that they're relieved they dodged a bullet here and they don't expect there to be long-term ramifications. But I guess what struck me the most was just the visual of him, kind of jogging, half jogging off the field. And then, I've been in that stadium many times. You're going down this huge corridor to get to the locker room and there's nobody with him in sight. It's like, that's the franchise, you know what I mean? Like, how? I figured you'd have two trainers and, whatever, an ambulance on standby if need be. Not that it was an injury of that significance, but I just found it kind of odd that he's trudging all the way around up to the locker room and there's nobody else in the camera shot.
Well, listen, this guy is a drama queen. I'd be interested to know what you're hearing around the league as far as the perception of him. We know he's a great athlete, tremendous athlete. I mean, he can wear your secondary out. But what's the consensus as far as what type of player he is outside of athleticism?
Well, look, let's go back to his rookie year where he didn't really have much of an offseason, right? He had no real preseason. He misses four games for legitimate injury, comes back and takes the league by storm. He's a guy who gets a little nicked up, but, he plays through stuff. Do guys love everything that comes out of his mouth and the GQ cover boy stuff and some of that happens between, Monday and Saturday? No, not everybody. Maybe not everybody's cup of tea, but I don't know anybody who doesn't respect what he does on Sundays and the way he comes to play. And you're going to get a little bit of that. The showboat stuff or a little bit of the look at me stuff from a lot of receivers and a lot of skill guys in the league. That team's pretty tight, that Giants team. And, every NFL franchise should have problems that are of the order of, how much money do we have to give to this guy who he's not, he's not getting arrested. He's not getting DUIs. He's not involved in drugs. He's not showing up on police blotters. Does he lose his cool on the field sometimes? Yeah, that's out of a competitive spirit. But trust me, he's going to get his money, and he's going to get it hand over fist.
G. Owen Jones with Jason Lockenfora, a guy who's still looking for his money, Le'Veon Bell. He's going to miss the third preseason game. He apparently turned down a deal, or there was really good discussions, and they were close to a deal that would have paid him around $12 million a year. He reportedly wants closer to $15 million or $15 million a year. How do you see this ending?
You know, it's a bizarre situation. And actually, the first 3 years of the deal would have averaged over $13 million. So, you know, you've got Shady McCoy at the time, who's at $8 million, and he's, you know, like the next highest in the league, a little over $8 million in terms of average compensation. And the Steelers on a long-term deal are willing to give this guy over 50% more, and it's still not enough. I mean, and he's been fixated on the 15 that, you know, Adrian Peterson kind of sort of got, but he never really reached the stage of the contract where he was making a pure 15 a year. But he's got that number fixated in his head, and he couldn't get beyond it, despite the fact that the NFLPA thought the deal that was on the table was very strong. His own agent, Bell's agent, thought the deal was strong, but ultimately Bell never put pen to paper. How did it play out? Le'Veon Bell's biggest concern should be when he does return, which at this point there'll be at a max probably 2 weeks of practice time for him, probably 5 to 6 real practices, those sort of Wednesday, Thursday, and in some cases Mondays, depending on how teams do their scheduled practices. He may get 6 of those. Is that enough for him to avoid a soft tissue injury, the kind of nagging injuries that have cost him 3 games here, 2 games there, a playoff game here? Because he now has put himself in a gamble on yourself situation. Instead of taking some long-term security, he's playing it out this year for 12, but he's a guy who has twofold issues: off-the-field suspensions, on-the-field injuries. And that's, you know, some of that's up to him and some of that will be out of his hands. But you can go look at guys over the years who've missed a large portion of camp, especially guys who play collision positions like this, and then just see how quickly it takes before they end up on the injured list. It generally, it happens quite a bit.
JLC, you write that Sean McVay is winning over his football team and others as well. So young, youngest head coach in NFL history. How's he going about doing that?
You know, he's really wise beyond his years. His grandfather was a very distinguished NFL executive. He's been around this for a long time. He pretty much transitioned right from sort of college football player to NFL, you know, quality control guy. He's been around the Grudens and the Shanahan. He's a human sponge. And he just, there's like an it factor to him. I mean, I've known him for a long time since he was coaching tight ends with the Redskins. And he's been, I mean, he's only 31, but he's kind of been around this for a decade now and worked his way up. He wasn't a guy who was given stuff. You know, he went from unknown quality control guy to working with different position groups to, you know, displaying a proficiency for offensive football to the point where, you know, a guy like Jay Gruden has him calling plays for him in his 20s. So he's earned it. He understands how to conduct himself in the locker room. He's seen things for better or for worse. He's been around as a young coach a lot of unusual situations like that RG3 and Cousins thing in Washington. I think he's been exposed to a lot. And he just has some natural people skills, some ways that he engages, and a natural energy about him that it's not going to overcome all the holes on that roster, and they're not going to be a great football team this year. But you could do a whole lot worse than Sean McVay figuring out if that quarterback you took first overall a year ago can actually play anything close to the level that you drafted him to play at. And he's got the veterans there buying in. And people see him as a young guy who can look beyond himself and sort of figure out what each player needs to succeed and try to give that to him. Now, again, we'll see what the results are like on the field, but I do think he'll be there a long time. I mean, he's a guy who got a 5 or 6 year deal. I think he will see that through there and re-up there as well if they can keep him. He really is a bright young man.
When's he going to be able to coach Aaron Donald?
Well, you know, that's complicated a little bit by the Sammy Watkins situation now because, you know, I was out there when they made the trade and talking to people. And, you know, Watkins is going to want to be paid. And you're getting him at age 24 with only controlling his rights for 1 year. Now, you could say 3 years if you franchise him twice. But, you know, per his actual contract now, there's only 1 year remaining. And he's going to, if you're going to get him to buy in and say, yeah, I'm going to forego free agency and re-up with the Rams, even though we don't know if they have a starting caliber quarterback, you're going to have to pay him as a top-of-the-line receiver, even though he's hurt a lot. So if Aaron Donald sees that, if that happens, and the Rams are in a bit of a bind because they didn't come to any terms with Watkins before the trade, and he sees that you're going to pay a guy who's never played a snap for us, you know, best of breed money at his position, then that's only going to further fuel Donald's argument that I'm not taking a penny less than what I think I'm worth because I am the best football player on that team. And he is the best football player on that team, I believe, by a wide margin. So the Rams have rolled over for everybody, you know, and that's sort of the bed that they made. When you paid James Laurinaitis more than you had to, and you paid Robert Quinn more than you had to, and you paid Tavon Austin, who's maybe a number 3-4 gadget receiver, you gave him number one receiver money. Then Aaron Donald's going to sit there and say, well, I've seen it for everybody else, and I'm actually the best at what I do in the NFL. There's no home team discounts now. Not with you guys moving to LA and having 90,000 seat stadium and going from the St. Louis market to the LA market, and I'm your best player. So that could bleed into the regular season.
Well, one guy who's not having to fight for his money apparently is the commissioner, Roger Goodell. Yeah. When does that deal get consummated?
You know, I know that there's reports of a 5 or 6 year deal, and I don't know what the term will be other than in the end, it's certainly going to be a contract that takes them through 2020, 2021. I mean, you've got the collective bargaining agreement expiring at the end of this decade. And clearly the league wants to show a sense of strength and solidarity and unity that, you know, we love what we did the last time around and we're ready to send the same people into the room to negotiate again. And you also have the broadcast rights expiring, the over-the-air broadcast rights. And then I guess some you know, streaming rights and how they're going to continue to expand the presence of games on the internet. And they've made a lot of money off that as well. And that's something else that's very much their bread and butter and that Goodell has been directly involved in. So I'm not surprised that they're going to do this. He doesn't want to go anywhere. He loves his job. And, I mean, look, he's paid to be the bad guy and be the bad cop. And mm-hmm. you know, as much as we think of commissioners as stewards of the game and maybe the fans commissioners, that's not true. I mean, there's, you know, players who run the league. Everybody else is a part of it. And he does the dirty work for them. And are all 31 of them, because right, the Packers don't have one, so I don't know, are all 31 owners in love with what Goodell and Park Avenue does all the time? Certainly not. But are they against him enough to scrap it and throw somebody else in there 2 years removed from CBA negotiations? Heck no.
Gio and Jones with CBS NFL insider Jason Lockenfora across the country on CBS Sports Radio. I don't think that this Ezekiel Elliott suspension is going to be knocked down from 6 games like Ben Roethlisberger's was from 6 to 4, different circumstances altogether. What do you think will be the end result after appeal?
I don't know, guys. This process, each of these sort of happen in a vacuum. They all have their own mitigating circumstances, their own degrees of evidence. These letters that have been written to, whether it's the Saints for Bountygate or, you know, Brady for Deflategate, or what was written and sent to Ezekiel Elliott in his suspension letter, the letters are all a little different. The tone is somewhat different in different instances. The degree and length of the investigations are different. You would think logically that they took over a year to do this, and it was their own investigation, and they had 4 outside people they consulted with who they showed the evidence to, and they all said, absolutely, we believe there's multiple instances of domestic violence here. And they just put a policy in place a few years ago, a new domestic violence policy, that says 6 times for a first offense. You would think on the face of it, and I get your point, and I would agree at a visceral level as well that, boy, this really looks like 6 games, but, you know, anything is possible. Greg Hardy, go back and look at the evidence there. And the allegations and the physical evidence in terms of the victim in that instance, and that went from 10 to 6. That blew my mind. So that just happened not that long ago. You know, last year, Josh Brown somehow comes out of it with 1. So I don't know, guys. I would think, again, based on their evidence and their policy, that this looks like 6 games, but you never know.
Jason, you wrote a pretty lengthy piece on Michael Bennett and his kneeling during the national anthem. He's the son of a military veteran, he and his brother, Martellus Bennett. And you seem to suggest it's a unique situation considering the brass there with Seattle, but I'm seeing it all across the league. This is not going to end just because Colin Kaepernick has been made out to be a pariah, is it?
No, it's not. And I think it's a galvanizing force for Seattle. I think it's a little different there just because of the way the owner and the general manager and the head coach, the way they let guys be themselves. And I think the fact that Seattle, now I know the Browns this past week, you know, had, you know, more guys sit than ever before, but the fact that sort of the Seahawks took that mantle from Kaepernick and became, and really Bennett himself kind of became the face of this doesn't surprise me, because guys feel like that even though this is a super corporate league, that is one team and one organization, one group of decision makers who do let them make their own decisions and do let them sort of speak out, and they empower them and they embolden them. Now, it doesn't mean they agree with everything they do, but go back and contrast what Pete Carroll said, and it's in the story you're referencing, you know, the day after Bennett sits versus what Hugh Jackson was saying even before a lot of his guys sat. It's a different tone. It's a different tack. It's a little more player-friendly. It's a little more, I get you. I understand you. I know you're not doing this half-cocked. I get that you feel morally compelled to do this, and while I wish you would express it differently, I support you, I understand you, and I know that you're an upstanding, outstanding human being. I mean, Pete Carroll basically put his arms around Michael Bennett. I don't know that you hear that exact rhetoric anywhere else. I don't know that you hear people that sort of accepting of this. And I mean, will it grow? I mean, I can't predict the next 2 days, much less, you know, 4 months of this country through the NFL season. But if there are more events like Charlottesville, if, you know, the response by government leaders to certain, you know, uprisings continue on the trajectory that they're on, then no, players won't be silent. And they feel like when you talk to them privately that what Michael Bennett's doing, the easy thing is just take that paycheck, stuff it in your back pocket, stand up like everybody else, and forget about it. It's again, in that Seahawks locker room, what Bennett's doing is seen as selfless, not selfish. And I think it will inspire more guys to do the same.
Then why did the Seahawks go out and sign Austin Davis ahead of Colin Kaepernick when they had an opportunity to, if they're so welcoming? Is there something about Kaepernick that we don't know from the playing side of things? He didn't look all that bad to me last year.
No, I mean, I think in their situation, their starting quarterback doesn't really miss any time. They've been in a salary cap situation for quite some time. They were looking to sign someone to a minimum salary benefit contract that protects their cap. Not that Colin Kaepernick would make a ton, but he's not playing for $770,000. And you know, I at least give them respect for bringing the kid in and talking to him. Now, did he wow them in the interview process? Did he blow them away? Clearly not. But at least they investigated him and brought him in the building. Nobody's worked him out. I mean, Seattle wins playoff games. Seattle, New England, the only teams to win a playoff game each of the last 5 years. What the hell are the Jacksonville Jaguars doing? You know what I mean? Like, how's that quarterback room look? Like, I mean, I'm going to give Seattle the benefit of the doubt. And again, they actually had the cojones to bring him in. Nobody else has. Look at some of these other quarterback rooms. It's ugly.
But well, the Jets,
they won't even give the kid a phone call.
Yeah, I mean, how about the Jets? And clearly we know that Woody Johnson and his political situation would probably, that wouldn't be a mesh. they're a fit there. But yeah, I mean, I don't understand. Well, I don't have to understand it, I guess.
No, you understand. You know what's going on.
Yeah.
What about right there in Baltimore, your backyard, and Steve Bisciotti and all the machinations that were going on and all the ways he was trying to hem and haw around this issue and their quarterback situation? Any updates on that deal?
They were excited, Colin Kaepernick. I mean, what I reported in real time, and look, they're in a unique situation there because John Harbaugh has been on record since the owners' meeting saying there's nobody gets blackballed in the NFL. That doesn't happen. Like, this is a meritocracy, and someone's going to need a quarterback, and he's going to make sense for them, and it's only a matter of time. And then you've got Jim Harbaugh, his brother, who's obviously been campaigning for Kaepernick to get a job, and they've got Greg Roman on staff who worked directly with Kaepernick
right in
San Francisco when he was playing his best. So if they didn't give at least extreme lip service to that idea, then they were going to look like major league hypocrites. So they were already in a little bit of a box there. So that's why you saw Harbaugh talk about it before he was asked about it, before the media even asked him about Kaepernick. He came out of practice that day and was like, yeah, we're thinking about it. You know, and then the owner took it way too far and started ruminating publicly and pray for us and all that. And they got heavy-handed with it and they botched it, but they never brought the kid in for a workout, nor did I think they would, because, A, they fully expected Flacco to be back by the regular season, and they still do, and they're taking extra precaution with it because it's a back, and they don't want to aggravate it, but he'll start practicing next week. And they weren't, I mean, clearly this owner wasn't going to go all out and say consequences be damned. I mean, when you're standing out there in front of your season ticket holders saying, should I, shouldn't I, you're basically saying I'm not doing it. They never made the case for signing him. They just talked about it as a hypothetical. So it's not like they were selling the messaging of, here's why he can help this community. It was always like, gee, I don't know if our community could handle it. That's a very different tone to take. And I think it's going to take a contending team. I'll go back to what I wrote in April and May. If or when Colin Kaepernick gets signed, it will not be because someone had a change of heart, some owner suddenly got progressive, or somebody did a whole bunch of research and said, our community can handle it. It will be because some team that thinks it's pretty good loses its starting quarterback, hates its backup over a period of a week or two, and says the only way to salvage the season is to bring this kid in and see what he can do. Until or unless we get to that point, he will continue to be treated largely as a pariah. He's not really been treated as a guy who's on the available free agent. He's been treated more on some sort of exempt list to, we could maybe check the, we couldn't really work him out.
All right, it looks like we're losing, Jason.
Yeah, we're losing you, man.
We're losing. He gave us 22 minutes here, so we can...
That's over the allotted time, dude.
Yeah, right. He was approaching Nick Saban territory.
You're hard-headed, man. You just will not learn.
You asked the last question.
5 minutes ago.
That's Jason Lockenfora, one of our favorites.
Unfortunately,
his phone crapped out in the end, but we got what he was talking about.
Yeah.
He makes the best noises.
We need to pair him with the goat.
He's part bird, isn't he? Some of that stuff. All right, coming up next, do not criticize Dante Fowler's driving. Because if you do, there's going to be a problem.
Greg Giannotti, Brian Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Next year, the same thing is going to happen.
No! Taking 80 days off.
80?
Yeah, why not?
So sort of like 2016 for you.
Yes.
Okay. Andrew Bogish is back with an update. What's up, Bogish?
Hello. There's my microphone.
Hello.
So it appears Odell Beckham Jr.
Bring back Heller.
Whoa. Wow.
Jeez. Oh, damn.
Fighting words.
We like Brad, but I'd rather have Bogish. I don't know why you would say that.
Seriously, Mike.
Damn.
It's a mean thing to say for his microphone.
Yeah.
Hit the on button once.
Tighten it up a bit.
Bogish can appreciate 90s R&B.
Yeah, tighten it. Right?
Yeah.
Tighten it up a bit.
You're Madden. So it appears Odell Beckham Jr. and the Giants will dodge the worst-case scenario.
Manning back to throw. Zips one right for Beckham, makes the catch, and then gets cut down at the knees at the 24-yard line. And Odell not pleased with that hit.
Bob Papa on Giants radio. Amputation looked likely at one point. The low hit from Brian Body Calhoun in the second quarter of last night's 10-6 Browns win in Cleveland. Beckham jogged off the field, but then fell to his knees outside the Giants locker room. X-rays were negative. More tests today back at home.
Just the more you think of that, it just fell. He crumpled like, oh, it's over. I'm done. I'm never playing. And
Why?
He went all Nancy Kerrigan on us.
Yeah, it was.
Come on.
Did it remind you a little bit of wrestling, Pete, where like a guy runs off and the camera follows him and he falls down? Did it? Your mic's not working again, man. It's unbelievable.
I'll bring Brett. Bahu.
For you, Seth.
Bring Brad back. Bring Brad back.
And Duffy.
Bring Brad back.
Isn't it great when a guy's about to insult somebody else and you can't even get the insult
and
out?
He has a seizure? Yeah, yeah, that was awesome.
Oh, yeah? Well, bless you. Take that. Oh, you're getting on me. What are you going to say, Pete?
Yes, it was very gimmicky.
Okay. All right. Thought so. Did you go to SummerSlam?
I did not know.
You did not go. Wasn't it in Brooklyn?
What? It was in Brooklyn, yes.
Why didn't you go?
What?
No, I just didn't feel like going.
Didn't feel like going. That's
What's
a lie.
On?
That's a lie. Was it? I mean, if it was too expensive, it's too expensive.
Oh, and also, yeah, it was too expensive.
I mean, I can understand that. But you would have gone if someone offered you a free ticket. You would have felt like going.
Yeah.
And no, it's just that sometimes those things can get a little expensive.
Exactly. Too expensive. How much?
Oh, they're probably a couple hundred bucks.
Wow.
Surprise, Pete. Right in your backyard.
Yeah, well, you know.
Didn't you fly to Dallas or something?
And Orlando. Good curveball, by the way. Taking off to not go to the close wrestling event.
Well, plus, I like those three-day weekends now. I'm becoming a big fan of the three-day. Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Oh, okay.
It's better than 2 days.
Yeah, we got that. Yeah, I thought that because you were off, you went and you had a good time and you put a couple back and.
I watched it. Watched it at home.
Yeah. Ate a foot-long hot dog.
Yeah.
Graphically.
Is that picture still up on Facebook?
I tried to get rid of it at least from my
It was then
profile.
Hacked now on celebjihad.com as well.
Right next to Tigers.
Yeah, we'll watch Celebrity Board Op. Take one. Yeah. There's a picture of Pete from a couple years ago, and he's eating a foot-long hot dog.
You should not have posted that.
Yeah, it was not. It just wasn't the most flattering.
Wasn't a good look.
Can you provide an alibi for Sunday night? Can anyone else confirm your whereabouts?
He watched SummerSlam at home. He didn't want to get up at 3 in the morning the next morning.
Ding.
That's what happened. Still should have gone, though, Pete. Fly around the country, these things. You got one you can take a train to, and you totally blow it.
Yeah, I did blow it. But you know what? I go to many, so.
Okay.
I'll take a pass on this one.
Okay.
Very good.
Mm.
Got anything else, Bo?
I do. A lot of things. So the x-rays on Odell Beckham Jr.'s ankle.
You're still doing that story?
Damn, we're done with him.
The Giants haven't yet discussed the results of x-rays on Brandon Marshall's shoulder.
Slipped on his skirt.
As for the Browns last night.
Osweiler under center. Straight drop back. Looking. And the ball got tipped in the air and picked off. Jason Pierre-Paul got it at the 26-yard line. The Giants tipped the ball up in the air. And JPP got it.
That's Jim Donovan on Browns. Radio Cleveland punted on Brock Osweiler's other possession. Rookie QB Deshaun Kizer ran for the game's only touchdown. Head coach Hugh Jackson would like to pick his starting QB by tomorrow. The Diamondbacks with a 3-2 win in 10 at the Mets. And the Brewers lost 2-0 in San Francisco. So Arizona's lead for the second NL wild card is now 3.5 games. The Dodgers a 6-5 win in 12 in Pittsburgh on a Yasiel Puig solo shot. Texas a 5-3 win in Anaheim. The Twins dumped the White Sox 10-2 after losing to them 7-6. And the Indians got by the Red Sox 5-4. But reliever Andrew Miller aggravated his right knee tendonitis and may end up back on the DL. And Steve Kerr recently told the San Francisco Chronicle he plans on coaching for all of the coming season after missing games in recent campaigns because of those lingering back issues. Boys?
All right, Bogus, thanks. Jaguars defensive end Dante Fowler has been charged on misdemeanor counts, battery, criminal mischief, and theft after an incident where the arrest affidavit says that Fowler was driving in the parking lot of a St. Petersburg apartment complex when a man walking by made a comment about his driving.
Said, you drive good, right?
Well, it was probably a negative comment because then Fowler allegedly...
Slow down, fool! You know, it's a neighborhood!
Yeah, you drive like crap. What are you doing? Something, I don't know. So then Fowler got out of the car, allegedly, hit the man, knocked his glasses off, stomped on the glasses.
Okay, that's enough. Stop right there, right?
No. Nope. He then took a bag of groceries the man had been carrying, including some just purchased liquor.
Oh, man.
And threw it in a nearby lake. So that is consistent anger throughout that whole process.
Right, and that's what's disturbing to the Jaguars.
I mean, after you punch the guy, knock his glasses off, then stomp on the glasses.
Right.
Not only do you take his groceries from him, including the alcohol he just bought, you don't just take that and dump it out or throw it down. you take those groceries to a lake, and the lake wasn't that far away, but you still transported the man's groceries to a lake to hurl.
And then you litter the lake.
Said groceries into the lake.
What if the ducks get a hold of that liquor, man?
I mean, I know that road rage is a thing, but the middle finger is about as far as I go. When it comes to that, maybe a honk here or there. And I'll say some stuff in the car.
Yeah, under your breath, right? Remember.
You blankety blank. Yeah. But to throw a man's groceries in the lake, that's got to be pretty damn scary to have Dante Fowler Jr. coming at you like that, too.
He was on a mission, and I don't know if he was upset with whoever he was visiting. I don't believe he lived in that apartment complex. But he was definitely already highly upset, and this set him off even more so. And you're correct. You would think slapping a guy or punching a guy, that would be enough. He shouldn't have gone that far. But doing that and then stomping on the glasses, can we stop right there? Why do we now have to pick up his groceries and chunk them in a lake? What is wrong with you, dude? You haven't been that physical on the football field.
Allegedly.
Can we find that aggression on a Sunday afternoon?
All this is alleged.
Right.
It's the arrest affidavit. I just want it to be true. That's funny to me. Now, does this guy have any leg to stand on? Can he go back to the grocery store and be like, the NFL defensive end just threw my groceries in a lake? Can I get a refund?
No.
So what do you do? How's he going to get his money back?
He's going to have to sue Dante Fowler for the cost of those groceries.
And the groceries?
And the glasses.
Groceries can be a lot of money, man, especially if you're buying alcohol.
Yes.
Spend a lot of money on groceries.
Very expensive.
Yeah.
So, Dante, pay for my groceries and some new glasses, and maybe we'll throw in some punitive damages.
Yeah,
how about that?
He's not going to want
pain and suffering.
Right. He's not going to want any Jaguars tickets, that's for sure.
But, no. Hell no.
How could you be driving that bad in a parking lot? Honestly.
I think he was trying to get somewhere. I think he was upset whoever he was visiting in that apartment complex.
An interesting take, yeah.
Yeah, probably had him hopped up, and he took it out on old man or old boy, whatever he was. And his groceries. Ain't gonna chunk groceries in the lake, man. Yeah. We gotta clean that up.
Yeah, well, it's probably not. It's probably a lot of that stuff is gonna sink to the bottom. There could be some vagabond who lives on the banks of that lake.
He's swimming
like
now,
a floating bok choy his way. To be like, whoa, what a great day.
Is that Top Ramen?
Yeah, man.
Got a bottle of Jack.
Some guy fishing.
It's my lucky day.
Pull up some Stoli. He's like, oh, look at this. This is great.
Tremendous. Yeah, that is very disturbing. Dante, come on, man. I can't do that. Yeah, you're right. Just living around here drive you crazy, people flipping you off. And don't do it. You can't. Come on.
Coming up next, our fantasy football commissioner that runs the CBS Sports Radio League, Pete Bilotti, has to put his foot down. I'll tell him what he needs to do next.
This is Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right, it's fantasy football draft season.
Yes!
Everybody's doing it.
Yep.
And last year, Pete Bilotti, he is the commissioner, our board operator. And you weren't the commissioner 2 years ago, so last year was your first year as a commissioner. So you went through it, ran a nice league, wasn't a lot of issues at all. I ended up winning this league.
Yeah, you did.
Very happy about
kicked
this.
Kicked y'all's ass.
Yeah, I did.
Mm-hmm.
And
swallow a lot of that.
And Pete and I and others in the league, we talked about a couple adjustments here or there. One was there were 14 teams, and the waiver wire was kind of a mess. So we said, all right, we got to knock two teams down, make this a little bit easier. Pete did that. He's been on top of making sure things are, all his ducks are in a row. He didn't have the snake draft there. We got the snake draft going in. All right, so everything's good. But there's one thing he said last year, right? The one thing he said last year he has not followed through with was there will be no co-owners in 2017. You cannot have someone else run your team next year. And I'm thinking we're good now, all right? Because last year, after hours with Amy Lawrence, Amy Lawrence has a family member named Mike. Named Mike running her team. So Pete said, no more of this. So then this morning, Amy comes out in a break and goes, Pete, My family member, Mike, has decided which guys we're going to keep. Our keepers, how do I get them to you? And Pete does not take that opportunity to say, excuse me, Amy, but you will be running the team, not Mike this year, or you can get out. He said, just email him to me.
Oh, he whipped out?
So, Pete.
Oh.
What is happening here? Why are we still having co-owners in this league?
Oh. You are right. You are right.
Oh, wow.
This will be addressed.
Oh, wow. Oh, why wasn't it addressed then?
I forgot about it.
Also,
I will say this, that I don't think these co-owners have impacted their teams. I think that whoever is going to win is going to win on their own merit.
See, I totally disagree because she said in her own words, she said the guy, Mike, my family member, who runs the team. So if he's running the team, that means that he is impacting what's happening. Now, I kicked her ass in the championship game, like embarrassed her.
Yeah.
But
you got embarrassed in the face.
So I don't care if she runs a team or he, I'll still beat him. But I just don't like the fact that someone else is running a team. It's not the whole part of it.
She can just lie.
Yeah, I don't understand. It just makes no sense to me.
I mean, this is not difficult. You say, here's the roster. What do I do?
That's a church-going person. Why would they lie?
Well, you make a good point.
Well, it's very blatant, too. You know, it's not like it's somebody that, you know, has someone helping them out. And
I mean, it says Mike next to the thing, not Amy.
Wow.
The face of the team is so-and-so.
So we don't know Mike.
What kind of commissioner are you, son?
Wow.
You son, all right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like it. I don't like it.
I don't like it either.
We can find out.
Don't play that noise again. That's,
and ask Amy anything. It's a possible question.
Yeah, why didn't you run your own damn team?
If you want to get it in there.
Yeah, I mean, I guess probably, I mean, if she does poorly, then she has an excuse. Maybe that's what it is. I mean, it can't be that you don't have enough time.
I just think it's a very easy league to operate a team in.
Yeah, of course it is.
So it's
fantasy football.
I mean, yeah, right.
Oh, it's hard. It's hard work.
Right. I mean, it's not like Dr. Bisseglia's job where she's building microscopes.
Yeah.
It's a fantasy football
team,
literally. Yeah, I mean, it's a fantasy football team. Got to be able to do this.
It's hard work.
Mikey B's back into the league this year, right?
I'm back, yes.
Yep.
What happened last year?
I was out. I kind of OD'd on it, wasn't into it. And then last year when Greg introduced me... Stop it, Brian. When Greg introduced me to Daily Fantasy, he got me all into it again.
Yeah, see?
So now
I'm inspiring people.
I love the Daily Fantasy. I'm obsessed with it, so now I'm going to take it to the weekly.
Brian crawled underneath the desk because he can't stand Mike and his answers. He asked what happened last year, and Mike's response was, I was out, as opposed to giving the reason why he was out, because he already knew he was out. So Brian has now crawled underneath the desk, and you know he's upset because... He's sitting on a disgusting floor. So I'm going to put the microphone down close to him. Brian, you all right, man? Jeez, ow, that hurt. watch your head there, man.
Can't get right.
I got to give you credit, though. You did a really good job of calming yourself down there. And not lashing out.
You look like Odell Beckham with that move.
Going down on the ground. Don't press your luck anymore, man. Let's not do it. Let's not do it.
Woosah.
What's the name of your team?
No. You said don't press your luck.
What's the name of your team?
What's the name of the team, dude?
I don't remember exactly, but it's...
Come on. I know the name of the team. Pete knows the name of the team. We're going to say the name of the team. You want to say it or not?
You can say it.
Hook 'em by God.
Two.
Hook 'em by God, two.
Well, you took one.
Why did you go that route?
I like the program that Coach Herman's building. I think that they're really establishing something within the state, and that inspired me. Coach has more hair now, apparently, so I said, why not? I've heard great commencement speeches there. Brian?
Wait, now, wait a second. I just went to our Twitter account, and...
Oh, stop it.
We used to have the picture of us on CBS This Morning we were talking about, and we said we got to change that. Because
Brian complained about it. It's been 36 years, he said, or something.
He put Abdul on there?
Yeah, he put... Yeah, look, he put...
What? You know how many people are going to like that? You know, people, I'm already getting hate mail. So, we haven't even started college football yet.
So now the cover picture we have on the Geo Jones Twitter account is Brian in the movie Stepping Back after the scene where he shoots himself in the head.
Abdul Smith.
So, do you still have the picture of us, though, somewhere? Because I'd like to have that as your keepsake. Is that somewhere on your phone? I'd like to have that picture
yeah,
of
sure.
us.
Sure.
Hi, I'm here for my 1:15 appointment.
That boy is so articulate. He speaks so well.
So if you'd like to see exactly what we're talking about, follow us on Twitter at Gio and Jones. G-I-O and Jones. Hey, Mike Riley, see what he did with his players?
I did.
This guy's like, he's really understanding.
Sit down. Right. Be humble.
He gave all his players tickets to Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah, gave him a day off and concert tickets. How about that? There
yeah.
you go.
Yeah, I think that stuff is important if the team is where you want them to be. I mean, if you're rewarding them because they're practicing hard and you're feeling great about, about where you
are. Has a new quarterback, Tanner Lee, transfer from Tulane. We'll see how that works out. But, that's a cool little deal. That didn't endear yourself to your young squad.
He got Nebraska as a team you got an eye on this year.
Yeah, I got an eye on him. We'll see what happens.
One eye, half an eye. The eye that's still working after staring into the eclipse.
Exactly. Let's see how this quarterback situation shakes out.
I go, I don't know. Oh, man. I tell you, you are funny with college football. Because sometimes I feel like I can't bring it up because you had exhausted yourself the previous day or something. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, to be completely honest, there's times where I feel like because this is your sanctuary for saying other stuff, then when you get into like the waist deep, neck deep college football thing, then when I bring it up, sometimes you're just like dismissive of it because you already talked out about that. Is that fair?
That is fair.
Okay.
That's a fair assessment.
Good.
You're very observant.
Good.
Yes.
Like now. I mean, you probably you'd rather talk about Kendrick Lamar than you would. You know, the Cornhuskers.
A great album. And matter of fact, he's in the series you started watching, the Defiant Ones.
Yeah, that's right.
He'll be in the last episode.
You told me to watch something yesterday.
Yeah.
I watched it that same day.
You tell me to watch stuff, and it takes me about a year. But I eventually get there.
No, you haven't gotten there.
I'm going to get there. I have to finish watching the last four episodes of Ballers from a year ago.
Skip that. I'm kind of sour.
And just go straight to Last Chance U?
Yeah. That's way cooler, I think. Ballers is fun. It's light.
Mm-hmm.
There's boats and bikinis and stuff.
Mm.
The acting is terrible. It's so bad.
Yeah.
The acting is the worst acting.
You ain't watching it for the acting, are you?
Yeah, but I want to be entertained. It's just, I don't know. Anyway, we're going to have one of those guys on who's one of the good actors.
When? You've been saying that for months.
Charles Green. It's going to happen Monday. Gio and Jones, CBS Sports Radio.
Skipping meals? Cutting out carbs? Still staring at the exact same number on the scale? Let's be honest. You aren't lazy, but your metabolism might be asleep at the wheel. Traditional dieting doesn't work anymore. It forces your body into starvation mode, burning up your hard-earned lean muscle while locking away deep belly fat. You're fighting your own biology. It's time to stop starving and start optimizing with Almased. Almased isn't a fad. It's a natural, high-protein, low-glycemic weight loss shake powerhouse backed by over 30 years of clinical university research. It doesn't crash your system. It reboots it. Almased is scientifically proven to target stubborn gut fat while protecting your muscle mass. No artificial sugar or fillers. Almased is made of three natural superfoods. It gives clean, sustained energy all day long and results you can actually see in the mirror. Stop fighting your body. Give it the fuel it needs to burn fat, crush cravings, and reclaim your edge. Go to Almased.com right now to get your protein and shaker bottle. That's Almased.com. Reset your metabolism, reclaim your health, and transform your body with Almased.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.